In the fullness of time, Christ came and in human nature lived on this earth a life unmarred by spot or stain of sin. With his whole being, he hated sin of any kind. The emissaries of darkness gave Christ the credit for being the one who had expelled them from heaven. They hate him for his purity. When he came to this world, his purity was a constant reproach to the proud, sensual generation then living on the earth. They hated him, and in the end crucified him. In his work on this earth, Christ saw how, by a disregard of the injunctions of God, in regard to righteousness and true doctrines, evil would be made almost indistinguishable from good. At times he looked upon the deceiving power of Satan and saw that the wrongdoing of evil workers must be met. At one such time there fell upon the ears of the multitude the words, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." Explaining the parable of the tares and the wheat, he said, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." So we see that between Christ and Satan there is unceasing conflict. This conflict will be waged until the work of salvation is accomplished, and it will grow fiercer as the end approaches. Through the transforming power of the grace of Christ, men may prevail against the evil that strives for the victory. They need not become the servants of Satan, the dupes of his lies. They need not continue to be his willing captives. They may rise against the deceiver whose wily tissue of lies cost our first parents their Eden home. They may resist the attacks of Satan. God can give them power to distinguish between falsehood and error, between sincerity and truth. If they choose, they may stand on vantage ground, but they can continue to stand there only by placing their hand in the hand of Christ and following where he leads the way. It is after man has received light and evidence, after he has seen the contrast between truth and error, that the struggle against sin begins in his heart. But this enmity against wrong did not exist in his heart until Christ placed it there. Those who are truly loyal will show that their mind and heart are fully with the Lord Jesus. They will discern the specious sentiments of Satan and will refuse to endorse actions that God condemns. But he who continues to depart from the laws of Christ's kingdom displays a spirit that is more and more decidedly at enmity against God. The Lord calls upon the one who has been working unrighteousness to put away his sins and be converted. Unless the transforming grace of Christ is poured into his soul, he will refuse to oppose the works of Satan. The human agent who is worked by the power of the enemy will close the door of his heart to every appeal made by the Savior. He will refuse to hear the words, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. And the God of heaven will not exercise his power to force man to practice righteousness with the heart in determined resistance. There shall be enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. We pray that this enmity may be more decidedly seen, that righteousness may be exalted, and sin called by its right name. When there are among God's people those who have departed from the path of humble obedience, those who have exalted self, those who have united with Satan in accusing and condemning the men appointed of God to be ministers of salvation, shall we keep silent for fear of hurting their feelings? When there are men in the church who love riches more than righteousness, who stand ready to take advantage of their fellow men by unjust dealings, shall we make no protest? And when men standing in position of leaders and teachers work under the power of spiritualistic ideas and sophistries, shall we keep silent for fear of injuring their influence while souls are being beguiled? Satan will use every advantage that he can obtain to cause souls to become beclouded and perplexed in regard to the work of the church, in regard to the word of God, and in regard to the words of warning which he has given through the testimonies of his Spirit to guard his little flock from the subtleties of the enemy. When men stand out in defiance against the counsel of God, they are warring against God. Is it right for those connected with such ones to treat them as if they were in perfect harmony with them, making no difference between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not? Though they be ministers or medical missionaries, they have dishonored Christ before the forces of the loyal and the disloyal. Open rebuke is necessary to prevent others from being ensnared.